Yeah.
Okay. I commence the January 16th meeting at 6:32. That's the meeting date, but that's okay. Okay, item two, roll call. Shruti.
Here.
Rhea.
Here.
Mega.
Here.
Elise.
Here.
Raj.
Here.
Rahul.
Here.
Vanilla.
Here.
Himadri.
Here.
David.
Here.
Akash.
Here.
Heidi.
Here.
Shannon.
Here.
Jenna. Manoj.
Here.
Yash.
Here.
Amritha.
Here.
Sarah.
Here.
Kuhu.
Here.
Nikita.
Here.
Awesome. All right, item three, special items and announcements. So with us, we have the new Parks and, what's it called?
Commission.
I know, Parks and Community Services Commission. Commissioner Lewis, she was sworn in two meetings ago, and yeah, she's here to fill in for Ms. Renee Matsumoto.
And then I have one. Did you want to tell them anything about yourself, or any of your background?
Shelly.
I've lived in San Ramon longer and than all of you have been alive. So I've been here 22 years. I have three adult sons. And gosh, they used to, we were here when this just opened, and they used to have some kind of video game thing they would do. I guess, you know, the last time I was here, you know what I'm talking about? They'd rent a room and do some kind of video thing. And so that's been going on for decades. And I haven't been back since, so I'm glad to see them. Thank you, all of you guys, for everything you do. I've heard nothing but wonderful things about this team group, so I'm glad to sit and listen.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
And then we have, did you want to, we have a request for two. We have a request that two team council members attend an upcoming meeting. It's a community
yes.
meeting.
It's for like diversity. I have the email. Yeah. So a group of community members and leaders have come together to discuss inclusion, equality, and diversity in our community. The San Ramon Teen Council was specifically mentioned as a group that should be a part of the discussion. As such, I would like to invite two Teen Council members to join us for an important meeting on Monday, January 29th. It's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the San Ramon City Hall room, the EOC room, where we'll discuss inclusion, equality, and diversity challenges, opportunities, and best practices, among other topics. So yeah, they want us to come and give our input, our wisdom, our guidance on this topic. I will be going, so if anyone else would like to go, I'd love. Awesome. Okay. So.
And then this will just be something that you guys go to, you know, this is a one-time thing. You're going to go give your wisdom, collect information, and then bring it back to the city and Teen Council as your group. And just make sure that if you can't go, you guys reach out and let us know so we can get somebody else to go, okay?
Awesome. Okay, item four, public comment or written communication. At this time, those in the audience are encouraged to address the Teen Council on any topic item not already included on today's agenda. If possible, comments should not exceed 5 minutes. If this is not considered sufficient time to address the issue, please arrange with the secretary to have that item placed on the agenda for a future committee meeting. And they're just not here. Okay. Item five, approval of minutes, 5.1 minutes of December 12, 2017 monthly meeting. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the minutes of December 12, 2017.
A second?
I second the motion.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any, okay, we're
any
good.
Absent?
Any absent? Okay, two?
And Amy.
Oh, three.
Four.
Okay, whoa, four?
Awesome.
Okay.
Am I allowed to, like?
Oh, if you weren't at the meeting, then no.
Then I, okay.
So, can we have a second?
I second.
Okay. Rhea, okay. So, it passes. Okay, so. It was approved or moved by Rahul, second by Rhea, and it's what, 17. 15.
15? I think it's 14,003.
How many people were absent?
There were four absent.
Oh.
So 17 minus 4.
Okay, so 13,004.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, item 6, committee business. 6.1, discussion and feedback on engaging youth in government survey results. Jen?
All right. So did you guys have a chance to review the survey results that were in your packet?
Yeah.
All
right. So we had a request from the public to explore offering a youth engagement type, you know, program or opportunity for teens to learn about local city government. We distributed the survey to parents and students, which you guys assisted with, and we received 170 responses when you guys got your packet, but it looks like we got three more since that time. And it showed 58% interest in civic education program for teens. So we did some research, and we do have a San Ramon Government 101 program, and it's currently available for 18 and up, ages 18 and up, which we went over last meeting. And then we also went over the Government's Engaging Youth Program, which is in Sacramento. And so tonight we're coming to you guys to get feedback on the survey results, figure out what you guys would suggest for a program, if we should do a program, time of year, duration, and structure of a Government 101 type of class.
Okay, well, from the results, it seemed like they weren't as interested to have a class, but more excited to be more hands-on and shadowing people.
Mm-hmm.
So
I also noticed, like, for the results, most of them were, like, sixth graders.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And then when you started going higher and higher and up, it was, like, a very obvious trend that was, like, so mm-hmm. most of this input might be from the perspective of, like, sixth graders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if what the survey like caught was just the views of mainly sixth graders, I don't know if it's necessarily embodies the whole teen community, I guess.
I would run that out to middle schoolers, because to be fair, there's 23% of our seventh graders and 17% of eighth graders, so it's like honestly, if we run that out to middle schoolers, I'll probably after 8th grade, when we have that drop to 9th grade, which is 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's generally a middle school response, not necessarily 6th grade.
So maybe do a government program for middle school, but not high school?
When do you guys have U.S. history?
11th grade.
11th? Do you guys do anything in middle school? Do you guys remember?
8th grade.
Because just to help this conversation along, one of mm-hmm. the first things you said is, hey, sounds like they want
more hands-on,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, what hands-on are we supposed to do with a sixth grader? I'm serious. What I don't want is you guys go, well, that's what the results say. That's what we're going to recommend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the city staff is going to go, okay, great. Now, what are we doing? Because sixth graders aren't going to get out of school. They're, you know, so we're now either talking nights, weekends, or summer, right? So I guess we could do a summer program or spring break.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we really supposed to do with a sixth grader? I mean, to be fair, it's hard enough to have a conversation with a high schooler these days, like a middle school kid. Okay, so
you just don't think they'll be ready for that type of
right
a shadow type program.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make sure that we think about this like in its entirety instead
mm-hmm.
of just going straight off the results and saying, hey, city staff, you should do this. And
mm-hmm.
then we're like kind of boxed in going, okay, well, how do we do that? So just make sure that we're thinking about this from all angles. Should we start with more of a class base or a camp base versus hands-on and then see where it goes? Or should we jump straight into, let's send them to engineering and PD and they can do a ride along in a police car with the barking canine in the back seat?
That'd be awesome.
They can only fit two people. We've been down that road. Everybody wants PD.
Right. So, yeah. so just kind of let's think about this as to, well, why didn't the high schoolers respond? And why, you know, mm-hmm. if we did it for teens, not just middle school, what would that really look like? Because we're not going to say this is a middle school program. This is going to be something for teens from X to X.
Well, you could definitely see that the kids were more interested in like stuff like the police department and more action-based type of thing. So,
okay, I feel like one of the problems, like why high schoolers didn't respond that much to the survey was like, I don't feel like high schoolers want to engage in new things right now, because like sixth grader, like it's like the start of middle school and it's kind of like a like new exposure and everything. So I feel like they want to engage themselves in like new activities to like engage themselves into like government. Like high school students are like kind of know what path they want to go in, or like they already have like an interest in something, so they wouldn't really want to put themselves into something new.
Right, and on top of that, like for question six, it shows like a really even distribution between the different departments, and shadowing really isn't that effective, especially when you're that young, so you can't really comprehend what they're telling you or instructing you. So it should be focused either on like ninth graders who've just come to high school and they're getting acclimated and like they're developing and understanding what they want to do. Same with sophomores, so those like target demographics would be better, and maybe even eighth graders. But since it's so spread out, we can't really tell which department they're really interested in. So it's almost that you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually think that maybe already an upperclassman might be a better idea, simply because 11th grade is like U.S. history or APUSH, 12th is like Gov or AP government, and especially because you're on the cusp of turning 18 and you're on the cusp of voting and engaging in your own community, and to actually understand what it takes to contribute and to learn how San Ramon City government operates. I know there's not that much like interest as demonstrated in the survey, but it might be more effective if we target that demographic instead.
Jen, you said that there used to be like a teen government shadow day, right?
Yes.
Does that still exist?
It does not.
And that was just because like you guys couldn't find a day because of the school schedules, right?
So Teen Council and the Parks and Community Services Department used to host a teen government shadow day every year. And it allowed students to come shadow city staff throughout all the departments. And they got to learn, they would spend the first part of their day with the staff, and they would drive them around and kind of show them what they did, what their job entailed. And then the second part of the day, it would be a mock city council meeting led by those students. However, the issue was the schools would no longer allow the students to miss school, like so they it would count as an absence against them, and then parents were not allowing that piece of it. So and also kind of the feedback was they weren't really interested in the city council, the mock city council meeting, but we added that into the survey, and that was that it doesn't necessarily reflect that, but that was kind of the feedback. The students were kind of really nervous about it. They didn't really engage in it. They didn't know what to expect. I don't know if they really had experienced a real meeting before, so that could have been part of it. But really, student schedules kind of got so busy and so crazy, it was hard for them to miss school for it.
The shadow day was hard, that piece of it was hard simply because everybody wanted to go to PD or mm-hmm. engineering or planning. Well, only X number of students can go to those areas, and those are just the three off the top of my head that were the most popular. Only X number of kids or students can go to those areas. So then others were forced, and I say forced because we said, oh, you're going to Parks Community Services. And they're like, okay, great. Well, this was like my last choice because I had to have a last choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then they would either no show the day of. Right. It's a lot of organizing and collecting waivers and all the things. But then they'd no show the day of, or they would arrive, find out who they're with, and then it just like ruins their day because that's not necessarily how they envision their day going.
So like this survey was basically seeing if you want to start this up again type of thing.
Not necessarily. I don't think it was the best fit. I mean, the feedback wasn't really, they weren't getting what they wanted out of it. You know what I mean?
It's not necessarily it just sounds
an internship.
Like,
it's just kind of
what they were talking about in the survey was like do you want to do shadowing, which we've done, and then people are disappointed with the department that they got.
Yeah.
And do you want to do a mock meeting, which the kids didn't enjoy and weren't like really engaged in?
So the original request came from my mother and son, who moved here just recently from, I believe, the Sacramento area. So in Sacramento, one of the attachments was...
It's like an internship,
sort of. So
it's like a shadowing internship type program.
Right, according to the agenda, so was from the government engaging youth information. So that's really big in Sacramento, Elk Grove, and West Sacramento, according to their flyers, right? So if you look at that, those are the three cities that were mentioned. And they have three various programs. One's like all summer long internship, one it seemed like a month, and then one had like a week. Those are, you know, and then they worked with this agency to put together that. Okay, so this mother who moved, mother and family who moved here from the Sacramento area, was used to seeing something along those lines. She moved here, goes, well, what does San Ramon have? And so she passed on that information, not really saying I need a teen government shadow day, but saying, should we have this type of program? I want my son to be involved in this. You should have a program. So rather than just saying, okay, we did a survey, and because all those elements that we asked about are in that type of program, okay? So we brought it, we gave it to the teens. You helped us, the ambassadors helped us get results. And so now we have the results, and now you guys actually need to interpret that data, use what you already know, what your friends would probably say, what you would say, and help the city either say yay, nay, this is what we recommend. If you're gonna do it, start small. No, we don't want a shadow day. No, we don't want council meeting. We're really looking at you guys, and then we will go back and do our best as professionals to put something together. The other piece of the staff report was Government 101. That is the city, so the city clerk's office, one of their charges is to educate the public on like local government, how it works, okay? So that's where Government 101 comes in. It was open to all ages. I think I mentioned this last time, right? And the couple teens that were in there made comments that weren't appreciated by the older in attendance, and so the teens got cut from the program, right? And then ever since then, it's been 18 and over. So that's one way we could go, because the city clerk already has something established. We could modify it slightly. We could do whatever we want to it. But ultimately, Parks and Community Services will work with the city clerk's office in some type of program or not, based on your recommendation. Okay, so we're really looking at you guys for a recommendation. If we need more time to think about it, we can do that too.
Well, maybe if this is like to kind of show the experiences in government, then instead of having like a full-on shadowing experience, like starting out by going in deep, we could start out with like a day where people can ask questions about various departments, because as David said, there's like about an equal appreciation for each department. So because of that, if like they have any questions and they want to see what like an average day is like one person from each department could come in and kind of talk about their experiences, and if anybody had any questions and wanted more experience in it, then we could like kind of set up a shadowing program based off of that.
And that's what the Gov 101 class is. It's each department comes in each week, or is it weekly?
It's weekly, for
and
8 weeks or something.
Yeah, and they present to the group on what their department does and what it entails and things like that. Mm-hmm. So obviously in its current format, it probably wouldn't be very entertaining for teens, but you could make it more engaging and more hands-on and different. So that could be an option that, you know, you're bringing up, is kind of just tweaking the Gov 101 class, but for teens.
Maybe there's a way we could take like the Gov 101 class and make it just a longer one-day thing, like a crash course instead of like a weekly thing. Because then, but it might be hard to fit like all the departments into one day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do like PD and planning on one day and then like parks and something else on another day, then the people could choose which specific day they want to go to since it's just like a one-time thing.
So you guys would be more interested in like a one-day or two-day type of program versus an ongoing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That would like,
yeah.
If you're considering doing most of these like departments, since we had such a wide spread, if you're saying, maybe one like 5-day course if we were doing this in the summer. So it's a little bit more spread out, but fast enough that you, like, teens won't get bored easily.
Would you guys take a program like this? Like, honestly, you don't have
yes.
to lie. Like, would you guys in this room be interested? I mean, you guys are part of Teen Council. You obviously are excited about government or want to be involved with it. Is this something you guys would be interested in?
If I wasn't in Teen Council, I would have gone probably.
Okay.
I think, honestly, I don't think I would be able to spend like 3 hours if it was just like talking and like
mm-hmm.
lecturing or someone was just talking at me for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be like as inclined to go.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was like in this format where it was just a class, like I don't think I would like go out of my way just to go to another class. But maybe if there's like, I know shadowing is tough because like there aren't enough employees or
mm-hmm.
something like that, but something more active where I can actually, you know, like do something and participate
mm-hmm.
myself, I would definitely be interested in versus a class like this.
Okay. And what type of like what time of year
I feel like summer
best.
Would probably be best,
mm-hmm.
like,
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
people won't have time, or maybe in the evenings, even on during summer, because a lot of teens, especially high school students, try to, like, fit in as many internships as they can during the day, so, like, the evenings or, like, the weekends during summer might be best.
So evenings and weekends, if those were off the table, because
mm-hmm.
everybody works
oh,
during
yeah.
the day, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
no, it makes sense, like,
yeah.
it's good feedback, but if we couldn't do evenings and weekends, what would be another, like, would spring break or winter break or?
No, don't do those.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Everyone's out of town.
Winter. I think spring break and winter break are like, occupied with school, like either vacation, you know, vacation during.
What about like?
What about starting at like 3 o'clock? Is that evening enough?
Yeah.
Because that would still allow full time because. The other challenge is working around workloads and other city staff schedules. Starting at 3 o'clock would still give us 2 hours roughly of time that people currently work.
Three during summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Does
yeah.
that give you guys enough time to go do your elaborate internship? You guys kill me with that stuff. I understand it, but you still kill me.
Take a break.
Yes.
So 3 o'clock works, potentially.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like if it was in the summer, like regardless, if it's not in the evening, then any time during the day would work. Because I think like for internships, it's generally, or at least, it would be like until like 5 or 6.
Oh, it would. You got your interns go all day? It's
I
like
think so. I don't.
Day.
Majority.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think majority of them are like a normal
okay.
day. So I feel like people that are going to these internships wouldn't have time anyways to go to a class unless it was very late at night.
Gotcha.
So otherwise, there would be like no point in doing it at 3. You might as well just do it like around 1.
I see. Okay.
But also, if you like, do an internship like in the morning or in the afternoon, then you're gonna have people who are doing that for their summer. That is their internship of the summer. So it's most likely you're gonna reach out to people who actually want to pursue like government relations
right.
as their like career. So you'd reach the target audience that you want to, not like a very broad art audience in San Ramon, but you'll get like people who are actually interested in
okay.
government.
And Raj, did you have something?
Oh yeah. So I know this is like a smaller city compared to like San Jose or like Sacramento, but is there any possibility for like, since there's a limited amount of students who are interested in government compared to like other fields, is it possible to have a longer term internship for those individuals and at the same time maybe have like government employees go to like history classes in 11th grade and government classes in 12th grade to talk more about those programs in their class? Or no? Is that not a possibility?
Anything's on the table. I mean, we don't know until we go to the school district and talk to the AP teachers and say, hey, you want us coming in here? I mean, obviously the school district and the individual high schools and then individual teachers would have to say, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, because I know at least for the government classes, all the time campaign spokespeople come in to like gauge interest within like individual students. I'm familiar with Miss Amini, who's a government teacher in Dory Valley, and she's really open to having like government officials at every level, like state, federal, local, like just come in and talk to them. So that'd be great.
So are we talking about this as like a one-time class or just like a continuous class? So like from what I heard, think about this in terms of like engaging, like especially like if we're talking about like high schoolers, I feel like it'd have to be something a bit more long term, where like what we was talking about, they can get more interactive opportunities. So from what people have been talking about, like if we're gonna have like an interest class where people can go like as like the lecture sort of the crash course of everything, and then after that could be like a follow up of like, oh, maybe they talked to this one person who was interested with a specific specific group, they can like follow up with that with like a standard program after that, and therefore the interest, the knowledge is there from the first day, and then you branch out after that.
So you're saying like a crash course, and then they specialize into what category they want to like pursue type of thing?
Yeah, like so it's not on the first day that they're assigned something, but rather mm-hmm. like what they're interested in after the first day. So also after that first day, if people are like, oh, maybe it's not my thing, then they don't have to like act like they're committed to it.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I was going to just add, because it's funny, with the cities that they brought to you guys are like right outside Sacramento, and so Sacramento, that world is all about government, where our world's more like about tech and stuff like that, so it's a little biased, but one of the first points is about local governments, and I just wonder if you'd be interested at all in those different kinds, not just city government, but how BART, that's a government agency, your water district, that's a government agency, the park district, the Big East Bay Parks is a government agency. And I wondered if it would be interested, and maybe it's not, I don't know, to like learn about those different forms of government and take a tour of your water district and find out about that. I mean, there could be a way, it's just not city government. I mean, you can't really, I mean, I don't think San Ramon can do that, but I just wonder, is there any interest in that at all?
Yeah, I think the students would be interested in it, but like having a one-day thing, like they wouldn't find it as valuable as a longer, like a multiple, sort of like a shadowing thing.
Okay.
Even though it might be harder to get like another city's agency, like a government agency to do that, it would probably be harder, but I think it would be more valuable for the students to shadow people and like maybe BART or the water district.
Yeah,
you could have a class, like a Gov 101 type class, and then they do field trips or things where it ties in those other like government agency type pieces where they tour, makes it more fulfilling or has different pieces, you know, interactive.
Yeah.
Sort of like if you do the Citizens Police Academy, they take you on different things or you learn different aspects. They'll take you to tour the jail. They'll take you to look at, you know,
yeah.
do different things so you mm-hmm. see more of a... So it could incorporate those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like right now we're thinking of these ideas and we're assuming that they have a general interest for it, but we might want to start like something a little bit like smaller scale, like maybe like having like a government stand at like the teen job fair and like see how like many people are actually interested in that kind of thing. Because like that, from like, I know like a lot of people go to teen job fair, so like if we were to see how many people came to the table and actually wanted like to see the different parts of government and wanted to get involved in that, then that would be.
So have they asked us to do like a booth or station at the team job fair this year?
Not that
no.
I'm aware of.
What would we do?
I don't know, we usually do one where...
The teen council,
mm-hmm.
we'll talk
yeah.
about it later, but the teen council usually will assist in some capacity with the teen job fair. But that could be something...
So, yeah, if we were to, like, be a part of that, we could incorporate that and get more information.
Yeah. Well, and you guys will have your Tri-Valley Youth Advisory Committee meeting coming up, which we'll talk about later, and that could be something that you guys could bring up at the meeting.
Okay.
Would you guys recommend, if we put together a program, is the program for every single teenager to take in San Ramon, thinking everybody needs to know about local government, or, as some of you have pointed out, it should be really designed for those interested in local government and potentially pursuing local government as a future job? What would be your recommendation to that question?
I feel like it should be more designed towards people that are actually interested in local government, because I think that people that don't have a general interest wouldn't attend the class anyways. And then that way, by gearing it towards people that are already interested, you can make it more advanced. Like, for example, instead of having a class, you could do like an internship style thing where you have a group of people and you give them like a city project, and then they can work on that project, and then they'll give feedback to the city about something like that. That way it's hands-on. They're not necessarily shadowing, but they're not being like, they're not in a class, so they'll actually be engaging.
Kind of like Leadership San Ramon. Like,
I feel like if we do a class, I think it might be better to have it open to everyone, but if you do an internship or a shadowing opportunity, you should focus on like the specific people who are actually interested, and that can probably be done through like picking and choosing people. Like,
I see. Yeah. Okay.
I know at Cal High, we have a class called iQuest, which is where instead of going to class, you go to an internship.
Right.
So I don't know if we would maybe just get the city involved in that, and they could go through the school, so they'd be fine with them outside of school, and so yeah.
I think like a,
because
like a
I know
problem?
That I know that's that it. One of the kids in the class is you know, involved with the fire department, and that's really cool, and he enjoys it. It's city based, so. Obviously, some of the departments are open to this program, and I think they're trying to start one up, or do they have one at Doherty? No. I think they're trying to start one up at Doherty. I know that they have one at Dublin. So this is definitely a way for people who are dedicated to learning more about the city and getting involved to get outside of school, like, legally and everything, and it's all good, no absences, and they get to shadow someone.
I
so
think we submitted our information.
Okay.
I think Adam was working with the district on.
Yeah. It. But the only thing is, it only is open to 12th graders. So.
Right. The iQuest is only to 12th graders. Mm-hmm. I think that program,
the other one.
That one is through the district office, I believe.
Oh. Okay.
So it would cover everybody.
Oh. All right.
So do we need a formal recommendation from these guys?
So, discussion closed.
Anything else you guys want to add?
Any last minute thoughts, comments?
You guys think it would be something good that we should continue to develop, or you guys think, you know, there's not necessarily enough interest?
I think with the amount of responses that we got, that barely covers the whole teen community, you know, especially considering it's just sixth graders. So I don't know necessarily if there's a need for all teens, like maybe sixth graders, I want that, but I couldn't really gauge from the information that we got. I don't know about you guys.
I think in general, if we focus it towards a more targeted audience, like rather than focusing on all of San Ramon, and like we mentioned, focusing on a specific group of people that are interested in government, then I think it is worth pursuing if we can put together a program that's valuable to them and that's engaging and that they'll be interested in.
So if you participated in a class like this, like a Gov101 type class, even though if it was more interactive and fun and things like that, is that something that you could add to your college application?
Just saying.
Yeah.
Because I know that teens have to, they really want to get something out of what they're
doing. It's all about the resume.
So is that something that you guys would typically be able to add on?
I think you'd be able to add it if it was more than a one-day thing.
So if it was like a ongoing class, not long, but like, okay.
Yeah.
I think perhaps like within the class, if you had like an opportunity to maybe like, I'm not sure how
to like actually be involved and engage and maybe help out with like some projects that are going on in the community, I think that would speak more to itself. Because on a college application, if you still like, you signed up for a class and you did it, like, well, that's great, right? But what have you gotten out of it? How have you applied it? And how have you used that to like better your community? So if you have like some perhaps, I guess, hands-on projects within that, I think that would make it really worthwhile.
I also know like the MTC, like the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, has like some program with BART. So like the commissioner earlier mentioned like programs with other government entities. So we could just work through that and like recommend that to students.
I did the MTC program for Transportation Division for San Ramon, and that was like really helpful for me because I got to work on projects and things like that. But that was like over the summer, and that was with the Transportation Division, so less of like a class, but more of just an internship. So that was valuable to me, but I'm not sure what a class would be like, but that's a little bit more challenging.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Item 6.2, Tri-Valley Youth Advisory Meeting signups.
All right. So we have the Tri-Valley Youth Advisory Council meeting, in Danville this year. Who went last year?
We hosted it.
I was on maternity leave. So
yeah, we hosted.
Raise your hand if you went.
Oh, the meeting.
It was the Tri Valley YAC meeting.
Yeah, I went to that.
Keith went. Did you guys does anybody want to give a brief overview of what it was?
It was fun. So, yeah, that's all you guys need to know. Just go. So basically, we started out the day with some icebreakers. So we got to meet the other youth committees. And then we broke off into smaller groups. And we discussed what we do in our city, what they do, how we could like incorporate or maybe like get ideas from each other, help each other with issues we're having. And then we brought those back to the table and we all discussed it as a huge group. I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, they had some great ideas. Other cities, they have more social media flexibility. And so like that was cool to see how they have really expanded in that way. And they also, some of them, they don't really do you know, activities or events, but instead give money to clubs that come to them and want to be promoted by their council, I guess. It was really cool and interesting to see how different we are and how we are similar too.
The thing is that Jenna was saying, like, we have different responsibilities in how we like run our team council. For example, like Dublin facilitates only through like money distribution. Like
they have scholarship programs,
yeah.
So they'll raise money. They do fundraising, and then they provide. They have groups like clubs from schools or different like local teen groups apply for grants through the teen council.
It looks like the smaller YAC Tech, which is in the breaking.
We'll also talk about that.
Yeah, so it's just a way for us to like talk about like ideas that are what ideas you have for the community and facilitate those around. So I mean, it's not even as formal as this. It's just more or less just to meet more people and talk.
I think it's good because you get new perspective, which is great.
All right. So with that, the Tri-Valley YAC meeting is going to be on January 27th. It's a Saturday. It's in Danville, and it's from 1 to 3 p.m. So I'm going to pass around a sign-up sheet, and please write down if you are able to go. Also, I'm going to pass around permission slips. We have the YAC Attack event, and that is sort of like this one, but on a larger scale, much larger. So you'll have lots of workshops to go through throughout the day. They provide you with lunch. It's lots of team building and fun and dancing, and you don't have to dance if that's not your thing. But they have, like, I don't know, anything from like Zumba workshops all the way to government around the world. Like, and so you'll go in and talk about some of the world's problems and how you address it in your own youth advisory committees, or how to be better leaders, and they have like inspiring speakers and things like that. So that is something that the city pays for you guys to go to. I will not be able to go this year, but Edwin is gonna go with you guys. So I need to register everybody, and I told everybody last meeting to take a look at your schedules. And that's gonna be March 10th. Yeah, March 10th. Also Saturday, and that is all day, and that'll be the city of Cupertino, I believe. Yep. So you would meet at the community center at like super early in the morning, 7 a.m. Get out there, we take a bus all together, and then they provide you with lunch and things throughout the day, and then you'll take the bus back and
so drop off at the community. That has the bus, but for the meeting we'll have to drive ourselves.
Yes.
There.
Okay. Yeah, for the Danville one you would need to get there yourself. So I'm going to pass these around. So for the Danville one, it's good that I can let them know how many people will be coming. And then if we have more than a quorum and things, letting, you know, figuring out what we need to do on that with the clerk's office. But the Yak Attack, I have to pay for each person. So if you can't go, I strongly encourage you to go because you will gain a lot out of this. But if you cannot go, please just let me know. But
and when would we sign up for the workshops? Like,
you do it there. You just go to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll pass that around, and I also have permission slips that I would need from you guys.
And Jen, did you say that Yak Attack is only once every 2 years?
Oh, yeah. And Yak Attack is only every other year. So if you are a junior, or you know what I mean, and you're planning mm-hmm. on doing this again next year, it's not an event that we would have, you know, every year. So
just do it this year.
Yeah. You will gain a lot from it. It is important. And it's really a good like team building, camaraderie type event. You guys don't get to do too much where you get to go to these places.
If we informed you earlier that we couldn't go, but now we can, is it possible if we just sign
yeah.
up right now?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Just write your name on there, and then that's how I'll know to register you guys.
Okay, so item 6.3, Yak Attack signups. That's being passed around right now.
Yes.
And then 6.4, approval of She's All That presentation. We have tabled that discussion for the February meeting. So check off that. Okay, 6.5, programming report. Yeah.
So the main focus for the programming section meeting this month was working on the She's All That presentation. And what the presentation's theme this year is around stress. So what we've done is we've highlighted what is stress, where does it come from, why does it occur, and how do we deal with it. And we attack not just the fact of like academic stress that may play a role in middle and high schoolers' lives, but also the factor of social stress. So if they're in a situation where they may feel peer pressure to do a certain thing, we wanted to really highlight that. And so a possible activity that we are planning on doing is making stress balls. And so the materials that we would need would be like a variety of textures. So you were thinking of flour, sand, rice, beans, confetti, cornstarch, balloons, tarp and funnels. So we might have to reach out to local grocery stores who have expired like flour or beans in order to get those items. And so that's pretty much what we've been working on, just how do we get the materials, because we don't exactly have a budget for this, and so how to get the materials. I don't know how much we can pay out of pocket for these, if because there is
we have a small budget.
Do we have a small budget?
Yeah, a little small one. Oh, well, maybe. But also something that doesn't cost any money is like a 5-minute mindful meditation session where you can like look up on YouTube and they can guide you through like your breathing, and you're like, oh my gosh, your body's going limp and stuff like that, which is like really cool. So they could just do that as well as part of the activity. But yeah, I'm really excited. All right, is that it? Thank you. Okay, 6.6, community outreach report, Raj.
So for our month, we're pretty much focusing on like this idea, like 100 ways to reduce stress. So we're starting on like a survey pretty much like in integration, not only for like the sheet all that presentation, but for potentially the stress lesson. Right?
Rest the stress.
Rest the stress. Yeah.
It's okay. So, you tried.
pretty much what we were talking about is how there's like this division about where we exactly want to cater this survey towards. Where if we have we built like a list of 6 or 7 questions. So we realized that like in terms of like the exactly like the 100. The list of 100 ways to reduce stress that probably be catered towards like more of a younger population, like middle schoolers and like maybe 9th and 10th graders, just because even though maybe 11th graders feel more stress, like they're at the point where usually they are not looking for an answer, but they're just looking to get through passed by it. So like some of the questions we came up with talked about like the primary causes of stress, like coping mechanisms, and like when did you start feeling stressed, so we would know when to like cater, how we would talk about and who we reach out to in terms of trying to actually reduce stress or like talk to about what their opinions are and mm-hmm. for what we can do rather than what they can just search up online. And like if we realize that it can't be something where we just like list like 100 different ways that you can find like on a Google search, but rather like maybe potentially more standalone catered one. So that's where we are now, we'll probably have a survey ready by next month.
Okay, so I think that it shouldn't be super catered to a specific age range, because you know, even if you are stressed and you do have ways to cope with it, even like 11th or 12th grade, there's always new ways that they could try. So
as in, I feel like especially for the website itself, it would, mm-hmm. like, especially if you want like people to click srt.org, I feel like it's more of like a teaching thing rather than like a replacing like, oh, these haven't worked before, and like, now like we need to use these. Like in a She's All That presentation, mm-hmm. teaching them how to prepare rather than like fixing a current problem. So I feel like that's maybe more the direction we need.
So more teaching instead of reteaching?
Or, yeah, I guess, if they've been taught. So, I mean, teaching versus, like,
okay.
That's it, right? I mean, I feel like that would be, like, in terms of where this should have the most potential. In terms of how effective it would be.
Mm-hmm. But the big thing is that it's open for all teens, which is awesome. Okay. Is that it? Thank you. Okay, 6.7, public relations report, Heidi.
Okay, so public relations, we started brainstorming some like general ways to reduce teen stress, which we can send to Raj and Jenna. These are more like general, but there's some fun ideas to help alleviate stress. And then we were talking about ambassadors and some projects that we can work on. So apart from publicizing this stress survey that we're working on right now, we were thinking of possibly having them go to the city committee as liaisons, kind of like we do. And they wouldn't have to like mark their hours for it or anything, but just to get familiar with other city committee meetings, and then that could kind of help align with the 101 class that we're also talking about. So that's just something we could consider. And we're also talking about a joint meeting with all of the ambassadors, which we could format somewhat like our YAC meetings, where we have some icebreakers and like group like games and things like that, and then have a session for them to talk about teen issues and ways they might want to address it, and then just kind of get a feel of how every school is doing their own thing. Oh yeah, and we're thinking either grouping the middle schools together and then the high schools separately, or mixing the two age groups together. Do you guys have any feedback on that?
I think it'd be interesting for me, I think, especially middle schools doing these things, to videos, because they're just thinking of new ideas. They probably don't know like exactly what they are doing at this point in time, so I feel like if all of them together.
Yeah. I think everyone together. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So sorry guys, based on the number of surveys we get back from middle schoolers,
Clearly, the middle school ambassadors know more than the high schoolers as to how to get people to respond. So I wouldn't necessarily diss the middle schoolers.
No, we're saying the high schoolers learn from the middle schoolers.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Sometimes it's hard to hear Raj, so.
You gotta be clear, Raj.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I think it's great how we see how enthusiastic the middle schoolers are and how engaged they are. So high schoolers could learn a thing or two.
Yeah, and then we're thinking this joint meeting might be sometime in February before our next team house meeting, if possible. We'll try to figure that out. And
yeah.
Then in terms of senior tech days, the one at Valley Vista, we still had some communication problems, I heard, so that's something we should try to work out. And we had two ambassadors sign up to go to Valley Vista, but I think only one showed up. So we're thinking of making a more systematic way to have these signups happen. So possibly having an ambassador contact list, so we can just send everything out to the ambassadors first, and then have the ambassador liaisons follow up on that. Just so we can get more support from these students. And then for the Acosta Senior Tech Day, which was today, I think we had five signups, like five people participating, senior centers for five appointments, but only three like showed up. So Rahul, I think, was suggesting that maybe we want to reduce the time that we have our Senior Tech Day.
Okay. Oh, I think there were two issues. One was, it was actually 9:30 to 11:30 on the form, on the appointment form.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I think ours was 9:11,
yeah. That's what they wanted us to do.
Okay.
And then the other issue was, since there's so many time slots available, the seniors tend to like spread out their appointments. So I think we might as well just put it into a 1 hour shift for the, like for volunteers, and then that way they just put their appointments on that time. Because I think a lot of the time the volunteers spent, there was like four or five of us,
mm-hmm.
and we were just like sitting around for a lot of the time when there was no one to help.
Okay. Did you guys walk around the senior center at all?
We did in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
But like there were like
was it pretty
three
empty?
Or four people, and then there was like some people playing poker, and like I think they were like a lot of them were
don't just
yeah,
don't.
Exactly.
So,
but last
like,
year it was really busy, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it either depends on the day, maybe because we do it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it depends, because some senior tech days that I've been to have been busy. Some
it's
of
like
them
swamped,
have been slow.
And then
yeah.
You guys can't help
exactly.
them fast enough, and they take a long time.
So are you saying like we have too many like slots that they can like sign up for? So if we like reduce,
I think they're like every 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, and there's
so
like there's like two slots for every 15 minutes.
So if we reduce that, then
maybe they'll
it would fill up more.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had asked them to put it on their display board and stuff like that as well to try it. And I know they do put it in their senior newsletter and stuff. So we have one more at the senior center in April, so we can try and I don't know, maybe somebody can go during one of their lunches in between now and then, or like during spring break or something, I don't know, yeah, during spring break, and just go during the senior lunch or something and make an announcement of when you guys will be there, because that's when
mm-hmm.
we'll catch, like, a good amount of people.
So the past, like, I don't know, two or three, there hasn't been very many seniors. Is there just not a need anymore? Are they tech savvy? Or it's weird.
Something you necessarily want to eliminate.
No,
like,
yeah,
that,
of course. Do we just have to advertise it differently or redirect the type
mm-hmm.
of tech help that they need?
Mm-hmm.
I think we might want to like change the hours a little bit, because I stayed a little bit behind after the senior tech day like period ended, and
mm-hmm.
I noticed that there were more seniors coming in around like 11:30, 12:30
for lunch.
Yeah.
People coming in there, so it might be more productive if we maybe hold our senior tech day then. If they are coming for lunch, it may be like on the side if they have like some tech issues, we might have like a more like streamlined like process of seniors like coming in and out.
Do the senior advisory committee liaisons want to reach out to the senior advisory committee and get their feedback, since we can't attend their meetings?
Okay.
If you need their contact, do you have their contact info?
I'll look it up.
Okay. If you need it, just let me know.
Okay.
All right.
Is that it? Thank you. Item 7, committee liaison reports. 7.1, Arts Advisory Committee. Mega?
There is no meeting in December.
Okay, thank you. 7.2, Economic Development Advisory Committee. Anila?
So the City Council passed the bylaws for the attendance on January 9th, which I'm pretty sure is like the same for all of the committees. But then through 2017 and 2018 work plan. So as I talked about last time, the walking, like how the mayor wanted to have like a walking district, like it's being put into action. Like they like kind of planned on how they want to have the walking district. Like they want to have, like to start off with, they want one in like the Bollinger area, like in the Crow Canyon area. But then they also want to, like in the future, like if the Crow Canyon area or like the, like this area, or like, sorry, like the city council area, like if that like part goes well, then they want to expand into like the Doherty area, which, cause like they're not, it's like they have a problem, like it's really hard to connect both areas since it's like pretty far from one another. So if one's successful, then they want to start the other. But like we also want like ideas from team council. Like I think we can have like a survey on that too, on what, like what teams want to see, like what activities they want to see in the walking district. Cause like, it's also like, it basically like also ties into like stress too, I guess. Cause like to fight like the stress, like students can go to like this walking district and like hang out, or like teams can go to this walking district and hang out. So like if we know like what activities like we want, or like what activities teams want to see, like we can just like we can talk to the city about it. And also like I guess we could have like a survey we need students to put out, cause the mayor wants to get started on that soon. And then so the strategic planning committee, it's like they talked about like a lot of like long-term goals. So one was the walking district and the other was like a Doherty like village center, and they thought it was like an opportunity to make it unique. So again, like teen council could help come up with like different ideas that they could see implemented for teens, so that like to fight stress again. And then for like marketing and outreach subcommittee, they're working with the chamber for the passport program. So they like specifically asked teen council to work with them on the passport program, and they like asked like what activities teens want to see again. But like one thing that I like thought, like one thing that I told them was like instead of like their age group was having just like all of like younger kids, like everyone under 18 would be one group, while like others over 18 would be another group. So I was talking about how like we could split up like teens into one group and then have like everyone under like ninth grade, I guess, in another group, because like they might have like different interests. So like we could just help them like create the passport program and basically endorse it. And then also the teen job fair is on March 3rd at 1 to 4 p.m. That's it. 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay, thank you. 7.3, Housing Advisory Committee. David?
There was no meeting. Yeah.
Thank you. 7.4, Library Advisory Committee. Sarah?
There was a meeting.
Thank you. 7.5, Planning Commission. Hamadri?
The meeting was canceled.
Okay, 7.6, Senior Advisory Committee.
The meeting was
canceled. 7.7, Transportation Advisory Committee.
Yeah, so I attended the meeting on December 14th. And they provided a presentation about a new initiative called Innovate 680, which is a bunch of, it has four projects within itself, and these projects will cost $40 million, and they'll be going on for a couple of years. And this is because the delay on 680 is expected to quadruple by 2020. It's just because of a, yeah, it's already like really bad, and it's gonna get worse. Because the commuters in the morning, it's just like, it's really bad. So some key improvements would be express lanes and auxiliary lanes, and southbound express lanes from each side of the county. And this would reduce travel time by 70%, and it would increase speed. And it would also decrease the congestion and better the air quality here, which is pretty good. And yeah, so it saves time. Also, like some things they would add is our bus lanes on the freeway, which would help commuters, I guess, and they would increase lanes going into the freeway, which would reduce congestion. The second thing is the Crow Canyon widening project by the Public Works Department, and there's two phases of this. Then one's on the 3 mile stretch from the St. George to Indian Rice Road, and one new travel lane is going to be created for better pedestrian availability. And the only negative about this is that they're going to remove some trees, but the positive is that it's better for pedestrians and bicycles. And this is still in progress, so it's going to take 18 months for the design. And Crow Canyon Road, so St. George to Indian Rice.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is also to address traffic in that area. And yeah, it'll improve for pedestrians, basically. Yeah, that was pretty much what happened.
All right, thank you. 7.8, Social Media Committee.
There was no meeting.
7.9, Open Space Committee.
From the meeting minutes, since I couldn't attend the meeting, it seems that the main objective of the meeting was to work and approve on the 2018 work plan, which included having the speakers list, having off-site meetings, so having walking tours around San Ramon, such as the creek tour, tour of the Ferrier Preserve, and tour of the Chang property, and also reviewing the 2018 goals and objectives, which were to enhance internal partnerships, external partnerships, both focusing on trail enhancements, reviewing development of planning proposals, and finally identifying opportunities to share with the committee and educate on the various streams and things.
Awesome, thank you. 7.10, Parks and Community Services Commission. So at our last meeting, they did mention teen council applications. So they're looking into people to interview for those. So guys, if you're applying again, like, just make sure you don't miss the deadlines. But we also, last year, we didn't advertise it as much as I think we should have. So we're definitely can get the ambassadors involved in that too. And yeah.
No.
But we are a part of the distributing and advertising.
Yeah, and the commission, I mean, you have Renee and commissioners that have been involved with it and know your feedback through the years, so I think that's helpful.
I mean, they talked about last year because they were, they asked for recommendations on the application afterwards, and I was like, because there was a lot of communication, they said that next year they would consider putting
So if you guys have feedback on that, you can send it to me and I can pass it along. I can't make any guarantees, but we can, let them know.
All right, so those are coming up. They talked about the recreation and facility booking software replacement, really old tech that they're fixing. And all the features that it has on it, it has you can print out tickets, you can schedule things on a calendar, talk to staff. It's really cool, and they took a lot of time and thorough investigation to find the best one for the city. So they're slowly weeding out the old one and bringing in the new one, which is great. And then they talked about the walking series and trail challenges. So they did ones walk with your dog and other stuff walk with your baby and family. It's really cool. It looked like a lot of fun. Yeah, but they didn't have so much participation, but I think they're still going with the trail challenges, right? Which is, and the theme this year was Think Outside, No Box Required. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so clever. So that was really cool. Looking forward to those. Hopefully I'll be able to participate, and you guys should too. Exercise is good. And that was pretty much all for the last meeting. And yeah, okay, so 7.11, City Council Representatives, second Tuesday of the month. Sarah?
There was actually two. There was one on December 12th that I didn't get to explain, and there was another one on January 9th. And then, so the December 12th one, first they started with a special presentation. There was they recognized the San Ramon Cricket Association, and apparently they were tournament champions of the International Youth Cricket Tournament. And so they were recognized by the mayor. And then the second thing was they approved the final map and authorized the mayor to execute a subdivision improvement agreement for subdivisions 94055 for the Preserve Development Project. And then they moved on to
public comment, and in public comment, Greg Carr brought up two suggestions they had for City Council. One was that they had the city engineer summarize the salient findings, so they wanted to be better informed about decisions that the city engineer made and the city made to the public. And they also asked for the final map for to be accessible to the public before they actually approved it during the meeting. Another person from the public emphasized that the Cal Atlantic subdivision of the Lennar was supposed to be a different approach and had a faster production because, and then City Council member alone mentioned also that Cal Atlantic had not yet merged with Lennar, and that would be in February. So the next, just kidding, I'm not done yet. And then the final closing comments were from Council Member Sachs mentioned that the school bus, something about school buses and how SRVUSD was partners. They also had their last jazz series in the library. Council Member Olone mentioned the San Ramon 150 talks, and Council Member Hudson emphasized the Spare the Air days and how PG&E was east of Broadmoor Loft Fence. Council Member Perkins mentioned that the 5-year radio payment, which was about 180 units, they were changing that so 21,000 units would be available for 42,000 radios in the process of, and then they are in the process of capital management plan to replace microwave systems to $3 per month per radio in the future. And Councilmember Clarkson mentioned that this year was the last tree lighting at the Bishop Branch area, and that next year it'll be held at the new city center. But he also mentioned that.
All worried.
But he mentioned that less people would be available because the area is smaller. So.
Oh.
But he mentioned that when the city lighting was already happened. So, yeah. The next council meeting was January 9th. I didn't actually get to attend this one, but they had a video of it online, so I used that. So first they started with, there were no special presentations, so they started with moving agenda items 4.8 and 4.9 to on hold, and then they also mentioned that and then they started talking about resolution number 218005 on approving the engineer's report for the annexation of the preserve into citywide landscaping and lighting district numbers 1984-1 for zones 1 and 2 and setting a public hearing for March 13, 2018. There was a public comment on this, and Jim Blickenstaff put on the website that they required compliance of developer as a precursor to the lighting and landscaping district because they wanted to form a new landscaping and lighting district for the preserve project. And then when they moved on to resolution number 218-006 on describing the new improvements and ordering the district engineer to prepare and file an engineer's report for the formation of a landscaping and lighting district for the new preserve, there was another public comment that he wrote a letter to Mayor Clarkson about something about that. And City Hall would be closed in the coming days because of rain and would be closed for about 3 to 4 weeks. And they were just talking about how someone would put up a sign.
Thank you. Okay, fourth Tuesday of the month.
The meeting on the 26th was canceled because of holidays.
Thank you. 7.12, Bike Master Plan Subcommittee.
There was no meeting, but the next one is on the 15th, so we'll have one for this.
Okay, thank you.
Item 8, staff reports. 8.1, Parks and Community Services Department updates. 8.1.1, upcoming department programs and events.
All right. So we have the online driver's ed class coming up. And then we also have the co-ed self-defense class coming up. The online driver's training is ongoing. It's not a specific date. The self-defense class is in February. Right now there's only 12 people registered. So if you guys could help spread the word, maybe take a picture of the flyer if you want a copy of it. But if you guys could help spread the word about those classes, because those were some of the things that came out of our meeting earlier in the year, it would be good.
Could you send us an email of the flyers so we can send it to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
And that's it.
Okay, 8.1.2, upcoming teen council important dates and reminders.
All right. So we have the teen job fair coming up on March 3rd, which was mentioned earlier. It's going to be in Pleasanton from 1 to 4 at the Senior Center. I have postcards for you guys if you guys can help spread the word, maybe do classroom presentations. That would be helpful. So we will, in February at the meeting, I'm gonna ask for volunteers for the teen job fair. So I know the beginning of March is very busy. There's a lot that seems to take place that first weekend in March and here in San Ramon, I think. Is there SATs that weekend?
Probably.
So there's usually that. Sometimes the Education Foundation hosts some tech event or something. So there's usually a lot that first week. But it is, you know, traditionally we have always supported the teen job fair as the teen council, so it would be good to have some volunteers available for that event to help with the day-to-day stuff around the event, whether it's being room monitors, helping with parking, things like that. So I will ask at their next meeting if they are going to want you guys to team up with any of the other groups and do a table or an event or a workshop or anything. So I'll ask and let you guys know. But plan on at least 5 of you being at that event. So start checking your schedules. And I already talked about the Youth Advisory Committee meeting. Just make sure that you guys have that on your calendars for Danville in January. And then Yak Attack, I passed around the permission form. Mm-hmm. Make sure you guys go home and ask your parents tonight that you can go, because I just have to pay for all the registrations. So go home tonight, ask, because sometimes your parents have crazy schedules and vacations planned and things, and let me know tonight by email if you cannot go. All right?
And this is due by the next meeting?
What? And bring the signed permission form to the next meeting.
Okay. Is that it?
I think
awesome.
That's it.
Thank you. Item 9, committee member items and announcements. So I just wanted to say, like, for stuff like this, like teen job fair and like driver ed, self-defense, it's really, really important to do classroom presentations and ask your teachers, can I post this up in your room? Talk to leadership if you know anyone. Talk to people that are in leadership. It's just really important to get the word out to the schools, and most teachers are willing to let you stand up and say your piece in class, so.
And the teen job fair has, so not only is there a ton of vendors at the event, so you can walk around and meet people and different jobs and internships and things like that. It's also interview, like they mock interview rooms, so you can go in and practice your interview skills and they'll give you feedback on how you did. They also have free food for teens, and then they also have presentations by local professionals in different fields. So they try and have somebody from the medical field or the government field, police. So I would keep an eye out on the website that's on the back and check in for the schedule and things. But it's just when you're going around and doing your classroom presentations and things, it's really good to just emphasize the free food. But also, you know, it's not just vendors, there's other things they can get out of it. Or if they're really scared to interview, they don't have to do that, they can do the other pieces. So
I think, Commissioner Lewis, you're doing the mock interviews.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool, guys. All right, did anyone have anything for special items announcements? No? Okay, item 10, adjournment. The next meeting will be held on February 20th, 2018 at 6:30 p.m. at the Doherty Station Community Center. Okay, and